Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive, where the Bills made a roster move today, believe it or not, just 6 days before they go to training camp. Bills announced that safety Raphael Bush, who got some snaps at nickel corner last year, has decided to retire less than a week before training camp. The veteran Raphael Bush, who spent 15 games with the Bills last year, seven starts, as we said, played some nickel corner. He played for five teams of in his NFL career, including the Bills. And to take his spot, the Bills signed another veteran corner, Kurt Coleman, former Carolina Panther, played with the New Orleans Saints last year. 132 career games for Kurt Coleman, 83 starts, 16 games with the Saints, nine starts last year. Kurt Coleman, 31 years of age, an Ohio State product, signs on with the Buffalo Bills after spending last year with New Orleans, worked with Sean McDermott in Philadelphia and in Carolina. The NFL is not going to suspend Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill. He can't attend Chiefs training camp, which opens next Friday. The league says just not enough evidence to suspend him under the NFL's personal conduct policy. The league says if further information becomes available, they will promptly consider it and take appropriate steps at that time. The Jets getting set for camp, and they might not see their top draft pick right away. Number three overall pick Quinnen Williams might not report with his teammates today. Williams could his situation could play out just like the Jets' first pick last year, Sam Darnold, who didn't report right away. Not expected to be a big deal, but Quinnen Williams not expected to report to Jets camp. Baltimore opens training camp without its first-round wideout available. Receiver Marquise Brown, among four rookies placed on the active non-football injury list yesterday. He underwent Lisfranc surgery in February. Oklahoma product suffered a foot injury during the Sooners' win of the Big 12 championship game. Broncos linebacker Todd Davis, who started 16 games last year, expected to miss 3 or 4 weeks with a partial tear in his calf muscle. The British Open, Shane Lowry is the leader at 4 under par. Tiger Woods expected to miss the cut. He finished at 70 today. Shot a 1 under 70 today. Closed with two straight bogeys. Finishes 6 over par. Not going to be enough to make the cut at the British Open. Hour number two of the show. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. We've got Tyler Dunn with us from Bleacher Report in place of Steve Tasker, who returns on Monday. We've got a regular familiar guest on Fridays with us right now. He is the executive producer and analyst on air for NFL Matchup on ESPN. Longtime senior producer at NFL Films. Happy to have Greg Cosell on the line with us. Hello, Greg. Welcome to the show. Long time no see or hear from. How you doing?
Murph, it is so good to be back with you. How's your summer been?
Summer's been great. Back to work on Monday after a couple of great weeks off. Say hello to our co-host, guest co-host today. Tyler Dunn is with us from Bleacher Report.
Greg. Tyler, great to be with you. Nice to talk to you.
Hey, and I always like when we can see who we're talking to here, too. This is awesome.
Oh, I don't know about that. I got a face for radio, but thank you.
Hey, I know you've been busy off-season working. I want to, if I can, get you in on what our Twitter poll is all about. We've basically been asking people, and you can evaluate this in your role as a film study guy. We spend so much time talking about the Bills. Just to get things started here, Greg, as you look around the other AFC East team, Patriots, Dolphins, Jets, what are some of the big issues? What should folks know going into training camp about those three divisional opponents for the Buffalo Bills? What do you think they're worried about in those three outposts?
Well, here's what fascinates me about the Patriots. Very simple. Last year, down the stretch, they turned into a running football team playing with a fullback on almost 50% of their snaps. Then they drafted Damian Harris this year out of Alabama in the third round. When you draft a player in the third round, you expect him to play. So I'm very anxious to see if the Patriots make a slight movement toward being a running football team, because I didn't think Brady, and I know they won the Super Bowl, but I didn't think he was quite as sharp as Brady has been in his career down the stretch. The Jets are a very interesting team to me. They've got a few holes, but they've also got some real quality players. And Adam Gase is a highly respected offensive coach, and I think their offense could very well be worth watching. Miami, of course, people have talked about who the quarterback will be. I think it'll eventually be Josh Rosen. Right now, they're a team that I think is probably at the bottom end in terms of talent in the division. And obviously with a new coaching staff. So this could be a little bit of a rebuilding year for them.
Those are all interesting takes. Just back to the Patriots for a second, Greg. Tyler and I talked about this a little bit in the first hour of the show. Tom Brady, and you mentioned, you know, he's not the way he was. His skills, I believe, have diminished somewhat. But it's not dramatic. And I wonder if he makes up for it just by his mental acuity, his familiarity with that system, his experience, quite frankly. It's almost like he might not drop off the table as some others might, even if his physical skills diminish.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I hope it didn't come across as if I was saying that he wasn't any good.
No.
I just think that there were certain things when you study tape the way I do that I noticed. I thought that his pocket movement wasn't quite the same, and that has always been an absolute strength of his game. I thought that he wasn't quite as consistently accurate as he's been. That's always been a strength of his game, his precise ball placement and location. But I think in some ways, Bill Belichick told you what Brady is and may not quite be at this point, given how they chose to play down the stretch.
You know, how do they work out that backfield then if they do kind of transform into more of a running team? I mean, they've got a lot of backs there, you know, before they even brought in the third round Damien Harris.
Yeah, it's a great point, Tyler. I mean, look, Sony Michel was clearly their number one runner, but they played Rex Burkhardt quite a bit, who's a solid runner and a very, very good receiver who can detach from the formation. But they drafted Damien Harris. Look, Sony Michel's had knee issues going back to Georgia. Maybe they feel that as good as Michel was down the stretch, that he can't be a true foundation back with 250 or 260 carries. So maybe it'll be a little bit more by committee. But there's no question Damien Harris is that kind of back. I mean, he's a pretty big-time talent. He was coming out of high school. He was the number one recruit in the country, had a nice career at Alabama in kind of a committee approach. So it'll be interesting. I think the Patriots will be a fascinating team to watch because clearly they don't have a big-time receiving core right now.
Talking with Greg Cosell, executive producer, analyst on NFL Matchup on ESPN, longtime senior producer at NFL Films. Greg will be with us on a regular basis just a couple of weeks away right after the Bills' first preseason game. 3 weeks from today, August 9th, we'll have Greg Cosell starting his regular Friday visits. And enough about the Patriots. Let's talk about the Bills for a second, Greg, and about the guy who most people believe is the key man going into his second year, quarterback Josh Allen. You've had a chance to review some of his 2018 tape, huh?
Yeah, I spent some time this summer really doing kind of a deep dive into Josh. I did that with a bunch of the rookie quarterbacks, and you know, it was really interesting. I thought he improved as the year went on, but you know, when I watch quarterbacks, Murph, and this comes from just years ago and getting to know Bill Walsh well and spending time with him, I think about quarterbacks and playing the position perfectly. And so there are certain things, you know, when I watch Josh that need to be improved on. And I think that when I watched him, he tended to leave the pocket prematurely. And when quarterbacks leave the pocket prematurely, they leave throws on the field because they don't get to throws that are there. I don't think he saw things particularly clearly at times. He tended to be a primary read quarterback in his first season, which is very common for young quarterbacks. So what happens when you're a primary read quarterback is if you don't feel comfortable with that primary read, instead of being patient and composed in the pocket, you end up breaking down and leaving the pocket. And that's something he did far too often. I think his ball placement must become much more precise, especially versus man-to-man coverage, because versus man coverage in the NFL, you don't have a big window per se. You've got to be able to really place the ball away from the defender. You know, I think that this relates to my first point. I think that the tape shows that he must get quicker with what I call elimination and isolation. In other words, eliminating what's not there and isolating what is there, especially if they want to take advantage of his strong arm and attack at the intermediate and vertical levels, which they often did by route design.
You know, obviously his supporting cast is going to be better. I mean, better offensive line,
no question.
You would think, you know, better receivers. And like you mentioned, you know, he'll probably work off that first read more in a second year, but you know, in your experience studying quarterbacks, like you study quarterbacks, is accuracy something you can teach, can coach? I mean, is that going to get markedly better for Josh Allen, or is he kind of, he is what he is at that point?
You know, it's interesting you say that, Tyler. There's a lot of people who, smart, reasonable people, disagree on that subject. I think if a quarterback plays with really good mechanics and his accuracy is not great, then that's what it is. But I think that Josh's mechanics can improve dramatically. I think because of his strong arm, he has a tendency for his lower body and his upper body not always to work in sync. That has to happen. Then we'll be able to make a better determination. You know, I also went through all his sacks and all his interceptions, and three things stood out. He needs to get better, and this is a function of being a rookie. This is something you can get better. He needs better pre-snap work recognizing fronts and who he's responsible for in protection, because the quarterback, depending on pressure concepts, often is responsible for a rusher. He was too quick to break down in the pocket, as I said, when his primary was not defined, and he did not turn some throws loose when they were there. So these are three things that can be worked on, especially pre-snap recognition. That's something that normally rookie quarterbacks struggle with, and then ideally they get better. Now, the O-line had some issues as well. There were far too many free rushers at Josh Allen. Sometimes that's the O-line's issue. Sometimes that's the quarterback's issue.
Question for you about Josh Allen and his well-chronicled accuracy issues, 52% last year, completion percentage. I've heard, and you mentioned it, you know, when people talk about accuracy, you said it's a lot of it is mechanics. I've heard Josh admit and heard others who are close to him say it's a footwork issue. It's the bottom half that he needs to work on. Do you see that as a case, Greg?
Without question. Because one thing that if you talk to coaches all the time, what has to happen is the feet and the eyes have to work together. By that, I mean you have to step to your throws. Now, a lot of quarterbacks with big arms, because they've done this their whole lives and they've been okay with it, what they do is they tend to flick the ball and snap off their throws without turning their core and their front foot toward the throw. And if you don't do that in the NFL, eventually that catches up with you. And Josh needs to improve in that area. His feet and his eyes have to work together better.
And one more, I have one more Josh question for you, Greg, and that's, you know, since the offseason began, we heard Sean McDermott and Brandon Mean talk about how they were looking for better decision-making from Josh Allen in his second year. When I hear you talk about quicker elimination and isolation and better pre-snap
same
reads,
thing.
That's all decision-making, right? That's recognizing what he's seen and making a decision.
What I try to do, Murph, is try to, you know, explain it in a little more detail.
Right.
Because it's easy. You know, people say processing and decision-making. I try to explain it in a little more detail. But that's exactly what you're talking about. The other thing that I think comes with experience is a better feel for game and situations. I think he needs better game and situation awareness. He took a few sacks this year, you know, as they were in field goal range that you can't take. I don't know if you remember these specific plays.
Oh, yeah,
I do.
I'm just thinking of one, yeah.
Yeah, I you may remember these plays as well because I just saw them recently, but he threw an interception against the Packers and an interception versus the Jets, which were great examples. You know, he ran out of the pocket. He tried to make second reaction improvisational plays. You just have to have better game and situation awareness. The one against the Packers, he threw into the end zone. You know, you can't do that. You just have to have better awareness of game situations, and I think that comes with experience.
Can he make a living, you know, running the ball 10 times a game like he did last year? I mean, we've seen the RG3s fade away, Kaepernick's fade away. I mean, is this sustainable? Because, you know, his athleticism, we see him flying over Anthony Barr, truck sticking, you know, DBs. I mean, it's an ability he has that maybe no other quarterback has, but I don't, can you make a living like that long term?
I don't think you can do it long term. He was arguably the best quarterback runner in the league last year, and people didn't really talk about that. But he had two 100-yard games, two 90-plus-yard games in terms of running the ball. And these were not necessarily designed runs, Tyler, as you know. These were scrambles. I think that's a big part of his game. Some teams used a spy on him. That may continue this year. I don't think long-term, even though he is a big man, he can make a living doing that. I mean, guys break. Look at Cam Newton. His body's broken down quite a bit, and he's even bigger than Josh. So, you know, I think that becomes a crutch. I think there were times he ran where he shouldn't have run, and even if he gains 12 or 15 yards, people might get excited, but I don't think he can live like that long term.
We're on the line with Greg Cosell, executive producer, analyst, NFL matchup on ESPN, longtime senior producer at NFL Films. We know that the Bills have added, you know, offensive linemen and receiving yes. targets. One in particular, Cole Beasley, coming over from Dallas. What sort of impact, what sort of help do you think he might provide for Josh Allen?
Well, he's your classic slot receiver, Murph, as you know. That I'm not telling anything you don't know with that. And he's very, very good in the short to intermediate areas. He's good on third down. He can run a lot of those sort of option routes, choice routes, pivot routes, routes that when it's third and six, he can gain 8 yards. And those are the kinds of throws where I think Josh's accuracy will need to be there. Because on those kinds of routes, they're timing routes. The ball has to come out. When a receiver like that makes a quick break off a pivot route, you've got to put it on his hands. You can't throw it behind him. You know, I think that he can be critical to this offense, and that'll be a good litmus test for Josh as the season sort of starts and develops and progresses to see fully necessary throws a quarterback must make. We all get focused, as you know, on big plays, but very often the important plays in games are when it's third and six and you complete a ball for 8 yards. Those become the big plays in games.
You know, Graham, just looking back at this 2017 draft, and I mean, the Bills took Zay Jones ahead of guys like Juju Smith-Schuster, Alvin Kamara. Yeah. They probably need more out of him this year. It's time for him to take a step. Is he going to take it?
Well, you know, it's really interesting, Tyler, how the receiving corps is going to play out, because Beasley's a slot guy. We know that. Zay Jones, I think, can play there as well, but they have John Brown and they've got Foster, and I really like what Robert Foster brought to the table last year. So I'm going to be very anxious to see how the snaps play out here with four receivers, assuming there's no injuries, with four receivers who I think are pretty interesting. My guess is Zay Jones is a piece of this. I don't think he becomes a guy that catches 70 balls or gets 100 targets. He'll be part of it. But we'll see. I mean, you know, look, you sign Brown, you sign Beasley, and there's no question Foster showed some things last year.
More questions about the Bills for you, if I may, Greg. 6 days away from Bills training camp. We talked a lot about last year's first pick, Josh Allen. What about last year's second pick, Tremaine Edmonds? What would represent a step forward for Tremaine Edmonds in his second year as the Bills' middle linebacker?
Yeah, I think he improved a lot over the last part of the season, Murph. Because I think for middle linebackers, the one thing you're always looking at, and people use the word instincts, another one of those sort of catchphrases. For me, the term I always use is play recognition. Because what you have to understand formations, you have to understand the depth of the back, you have to understand where the back is, you know, which side he's offset. Is he offset to the passing strength or to the running strength? Those kinds of things. You have to understand spatial awareness. You know, based on formation, those are the kinds of things where I think a young Mike linebacker always has to get better. And I think Tremaine Edwards started to get a feel for that as the season progressed. He'll get better in that area. And then you'll really see the outstanding athleticism show up more snap after snap after snap. But I thought he started to move in that direction. The sort of cliche for a stacked Mike linebacker is he has to play with his eyes. And I think that that's critical for Tremaine Edmonds. The athletic ability is clearly there.
Man, it's pretty incredible when you look at what Frank Gore's done in his career. I mean, when this season's over, he might be, probably will be number three all time on the list. And
oh, yeah.
Probably going to keep playing after that. What does he still have left to give when you look at him on the film?
I love Frank Gore. And I love when people tell me he's not a Hall of Famer because he was never, you know, a top three back in any given year. I mean, given what he's done over time, very few backs have done that. I think last year he looked very good running the football. Obviously, he's not at the point in his career where he's getting 250 carries. But when you watch him run, I think his skill set is pretty close to what it was. Look, he was never a true explosive burner back. He was always more of a tough inside grinder with a great feel for running in confined space. He always had the ability to get through small creases at the point of attack. He just had a great feel for running the football. That feel is still there.
One more Bills question for you before we move on to some other issues, Greg, in our remaining few moments here. Bills made a roster move today. Rafael Bush retired. Kurt Coleman, who's got, what, 9-year resume in the NFL, last year with New Orleans. Kurt Coleman signs to the roster. What, if anything, can the Bills get from him, would you think?
Well, Kurt Coleman was in Philly in 2010, which was Sean McDermott's last year in Philly. That was Coleman's rookie season, I believe. I think everybody knows what Coleman is. A lot of teams now like to line up with three safeties, and he could certainly fill that role. He's essentially a box player. He's much more of a glorified linebacker at this point in his career. That's the way the Saints used him last year when he did play, and it would depend on the opponent. Let's say you're playing against the Patriots, and they're going to line up with 21 personnel, meaning the fullbacks on the field, Kurt Coleman could easily be a factor and be a part of that defense. He's not likely to play against three wide receiver sets. He certainly is not a post safety, but I think he's a physical, tough, competitive guy. My guess is he's great in the locker room. Obviously, I don't know that. I'm not in the locker room, but that would be my guess. So I think that's what he brings to the defense.
Boy, Greg, you mentioned earlier that Adam Gase is one of the more highly respected offensive minds in football, and we haven't seen Le'Veon Bell for more than a year now. How is he going to use Bell in his offense? Is it going to be similar to what we saw in Pittsburgh, different? What do you expect?
That'll be fascinating. I don't know if he's going to get 300 carries. I happened to be at the Jets mini camp, and Bell looked great in terms of being in shape and just the way, you know, his body. He just looked really good. I think he'll be used more as a receiver. When I say more, I know he's caught a lot of balls in Pittsburgh, but I think he'll run a wider array of routes. His last year in Pittsburgh, it was a lot of screens and a lot of checkdowns. I think that Adam Gase sees him more as a guy that he could run intermediate, even vertical routes. He has that kind of ability. So I don't know if Bell will carry quite as much, but I think that you'll see him more involved in the passing game and in the types of routes he runs. But he'll still get 250 carries. I'm not suggesting he's not going to carry the ball much, but I don't think he'll have 330 carries.
Greg, you're at the Jets camp. You can answer this question, I would think, authoritatively. Who's better, the Bills or the Jets? I've seen people say the Jets are 3 wins better than the Bills this year. What do you think?
Well, those are always hard questions, Murph, to answer now at the end of July.
Yeah.
Obviously, both teams are counting on their second-year quarterbacks, who are very good friends, by the way, to improve significantly. Obviously, the Bills did not change their coaching staff. The Jets did. Much depends on the development and growth of the quarterbacks. I think both teams feel that they'll be able to run the ball with efficiency. I think that the Bills clearly feel their offensive line will be better. I mean, look, the Bills have a new starting center who's very good. They'll have a new left guard, Quentin Spain. They'll have a new right guard in Spencer Long. And I assume is Cody Ford likely to be the starter at right tackle?
I would say likely is a good word, yes. Best way to put it, yes.
So, I mean, 4 of their 5 offensive linemen will be different. I think Deion Dawkins needs to improve as well. He struggled at times in one-on-one pass protection a year ago. But, I mean, I think that, both teams have new players in important positions. And, it all depends on how these players improve. But it starts at the quarterback position.
Going to be fun. And I love the way the schedule sets up. The Bills open with the Jets and finish with the Jets. Final Sunday of the regular season. It's going to be fun. Hey, Greg, it's always fun to talk with you. We're looking forward to getting it going on a regular basis. 3 weeks from today, right after the Bills-Colts preseason game on Friday, August 9th. Thank you for this today. Good talking to you.
You too, guys. Thanks so much.
Greg Cosell is executive producer and analyst on NFL Matchup on ESPN. Longtime senior producer in NFL Films. He's a great guest for us on Fridays, Tyler. I mean, I think you can see why. And when you get down to previewing that next weekend's game and going back and looking at what the Bills did the week before, after all the video he looks at, there's nobody better than Greg. He's unbelievable.
I mean, he was just telling us he was on vacation but still couldn't get away from the film, right?
Yeah. So I don't have that issue. Do you? I mean,
I'm not grinding the all 22, as they say. No. But the film doesn't lie. And you can trust everything he says is backed up by – fact, yeah. And hours and hours and hours of looking at this stuff.
And really good observations, I thought, about Josh Allen and on Tremaine Edmonds as well. Thanks to Greg Cosell for joining us. Got a lot more show to come, including What's for Lunch? That's up next. Come on back for that. Tyler Dunn is here. Steve Tasker out until Monday. Come on back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy with Tyler Dunn from Bleacher Report. He's with us. Steve is off today. Steve is back on Monday. Big weekend plans, Tyler. I'll tell you from my perspective. Before I ask you a question, then I give you a This is my last weekend of the year, really, and because, you know, I'll be at camp next weekend, and there is the bye week coming up, what is it, October 13th or something, but for the most part, I view this as the end of the weekends off, which is fine. I love the work. I love the games, but it's a little bit, you know, I have nothing planned for this weekend because I want to be totally free and wide open, knowing that it's the last free and wide open weekend I'll have until New Year's.
No trips to the Finger Lakes?
Nope.
Skinny
nothing.
Atlas?
Nothing? Nope. Nope.
Sneak
I was
one
giving
in.
Him Skinny Atlas tips yesterday off air. Nope. Nothing planned. Nothing.
Gonna That's good.
Lay low. Yeah, it should be good. But I believe me, staring me in the face is the fact that this is it. This is it. Here comes camp. And here comes the season. And we, Steve and I have talked about this, and you live this life too when you cover the NFL. The start of training camp is the start of the season, for me anyway. It's like it changes, obviously, on September 8th, 9th, when the season begins. But it really is the start of the season when they go to camp at the end of July.
Yeah, what a brutal lull in the sports calendar right now,
right
isn't
now.
It? I'm not a golf guy or a baseball guy. This is just – I mean, how many nights do you just want to sit on your couch and drink a beer and watch something, and there's just nothing on? There's nothing to really get into. So training camp is like that first plunge, you know?
Yeah. I love camp.
Yeah.
I do. I'm a sucker for camp.
To answer your question, I'm going to a wedding in Ohio, so my cousin's
excellent.
Getting married in Middlefield. It'll be fun.
Excellent. Where's Middlefield?
Middlefield. It's the Amish country, rural Cleveland, like an hour away from Cleveland,
okay.
So my mom's from
drive.
There. It'll be great.
Yeah, that's good. Have fun.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Tyler's with us today until 3. Steve comes back on Monday talking about a lot of things, including the Bills and the AFC East and some of the big question marks. That topic remains open. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Or you can send us a tweet. We might read it on the tweet sheet. News of the day, the Bills announcing today that safety Rafael Bush has decided to retire after 9 seasons in the NFL, played a lot for the Bills last year. And the Bills have signed, going into his 10th year, veteran safety Kurt Coleman. Last year with New Orleans. Prior to that, he was with the Eagles, former 7th-round pick of the Eagles, played there, played with Carolina. Kurt Coleman, Ohio State product, last year with the New Orleans Saints. 9 starts last year. He is now a Buffalo Bill, just 6 days before camp begins. All right, 1:33, lunchtime. The show falls right smack dab in the middle of lunchtime. It's Steve Tasker's favorite segment of the show. What's for lunch? We're going to play it with Tyler. We get a chance to determine what's your choice here. Do you want that great-looking chicken wing, or would you like that piece of, carp on 2 slices of Wonder Bread?
Carp on bread? That just sounds awful.
It looks awful if you're watching on the video site. It's terrible. They have illustrated for us. What's for lunch? We pick our favorite. We make our pick today. What's for lunch? Here we go. Tyler, are you ready? Here we go. First Pro Bowl this year for who? Tre'Davious White or Jerry Hughes? What do you think?
Tre'Davious White.
Really?
I think so. I think, you know, Jerry Hughes could have a really good season and finish with 5-6 sacks. You know, he's seems like he gets pressure year in and year out, but doesn't get the, you know, that's position when to get into the Pro Bowl, it's so predicated on how many sacks you had. Tre'Davious White is a top 5 cornerback already in the NFL. I think that finally everybody kind of notices it.
I can't disagree with that. I root for them both. I mean, Jerry, obviously, for longevity's sake, and how many years would he have left? And he's been a solid performer for the Bills. Really, in retrospect, one of the great trades in franchise history.
Really?
Calvin Shepard for Jerry
Definitely.
Hughes. So I would root for him. I'd root for them both. But I agree with you. Tre'Davious White is probably closer to making his first Pro Bowl this year. We'll see. What's for lunch? All right, how about this one? More impressive, Barry Sanders juke or Marshawn Lynch stiff arm?
Oh, man, you got to go Barry Sanders juke
you do.
Here, right?
I mean, agree.
Man, just with his birthday last week, was kind of falling down that YouTube rabbit hole of watching old Barry Sanders clips. And, I mean, his knees, I mean, just unbelievable what he to just stop on a dime and change direction the way he did. It never stops being just, you know, we'll never see anything like it again. That's what I'm saying. It's unbelievable. He's the best player ever to play the game in my book.
Barry Sanders.
No doubt.
Best player ever to play any position.
Yeah, you know, and look who's handing Rodney Peete's handing him the ball there. You know, he's met by a defender, you know, at the line of scrimmage again and again and again. Imagine what he would have done with a Dallas Cowboys offensive line, even a Buffalo Bills offensive line. He had nothing around him. I think we just don't talk about him because he played in the playoffs once, twice, and that's kind of where you make your legacies. But just as a pure runner, pure football player, I'd take him over anybody.
I would. I don't know if I'm going that best ever, but I am going. I would rather see him dance around a defender. And look, I have a healthy respect for Marshawn Lynch and his stiff arm and his toughness and the difficulty in bringing him down, but there was nobody like Barry Sanders for elusiveness, pure speed, vision, and juking, you know, just getting by people with incredible moves. There's nothing like him in the NFL. Closest thing, and you remember O.J.? You're too young to remember O.J. as a
little
player.
Young for that, yeah.
O.J.
Remember O.J. for other reasons, but.
Yeah, right. Everybody does that. O.J. was a little bit like that, you know, a little bit bigger than Barry Sanders, but a little bit like that, just finding creases and holes and avenues to run where they didn't seem to be there. All right, what's for lunch? What do you want? What do you prefer? Better second act in his NFL career. This is an interesting one. Drew Brees with the Saints, Peyton Manning with the Broncos. Can I just say, I know it's his second team, the Saints, for Drew Brees, but I don't look at that as a second act, really, because he didn't play much in San Diego. I think his career really got going when he went to the New Orleans Saints. I think Peyton Manning, they both won Super Bowls with those teams. But I think as a second act, if you look at it strictly in terms of a second act, after a good, successful first act, I guess, Peyton Manning had both. And winning a Super Bowl with the Broncos, I think, makes that better.
Yeah, I'll go with Drew Brees if I'm going to look at that second act as even, you know, him at this stage of his career. At 39 and 40 years old, these last 2 years, I mean, he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the game. And it's just talk about bad luck. I mean, you've got the Minneapolis Miracle in 2017 when he has, you know, one of the best seasons of his career. The Saints have a Super Bowl, you know, worthy team. And then last year with the Nickell Robey-Coleman pass interference, I mean, they should have won that game. And you're talking about two Super Bowl championships there that got away from the Saints.
Yeah. They have to agonize. I'm sure they do. Peyton leading the charge, agonize over the non-call on Robey-Coleman. And, you know, and it's an important call, and it's impacted the game and given us the stupid pass interference replay challenges this year. But you know what? I'm not saying I like that play, but I like the fact that it was Nickell Robey-Coleman.
Yes,
you know
yes.
him. You know him. You remember
him.
Oh,
he's one of the best.
He is a great. Talking to him at the Super Bowl about that play, he fully admits he interfered. He knows he interfered. He said, I was making a play. And the play at that point had to be, no way does he catch this ball. Right. Fully anticipating.
He owned it.
Yeah. Anticipating the flag, didn't get it. And that's why I look at that play. I'm distressed that it caused the league to change a rule, which I think is stupid. But I like the fact that a guy that I know and a guy that I really appreciate as a player and as a guy, Robey-Coleman, was right in the middle of that. I like that play.
Yeah, one of the best personalities in the entire game. And what a win for cornerbacks that, I mean, they have to play with both hands tied behind their backs. It's like, I mean, does the NFL want their position to go extinct? It's unbelievable year in and year out what we see. So it was good to see just a terrible non-call in that situation. The NFL reaps what it sows.
Can we talk about that when we get out of the segment? I want to talk to you about replay because I have strong feelings about it, and I'm interested to see what you say. We continue on with what's for lunch. How about this one? This is interesting. NFL celebrations. Should all players be allowed to participate, all those guys on the bench, or just only ones on the field? I don't care. I don't really don't care. What do you think?
You know, I'm all more celebrated. I want more. You know, like, it makes the game fun. Heck, you know what? Get rid of taunting penalties. I want to see more taunts. Let's bring it on. You know, if you can just race away from a guy and you've got a good 10-yard distance, you should be able to taunt him. You should be rewarded. No, yeah. I don't want to see that 15-yard penalty.
You know what's cool about taunting, or what could be cool, if they allow it to happen and then you don't taunt? Wouldn't you have ultimate respect if a guy, like, it's one thing if a guy doesn't taunt because he doesn't want to take a 15-yard penalty, and so he won't, even though he may want to. But if you're allowed to taunt and you don't, I'd take my hat off to you. That's great. You could do that. You could taunt if you wanted, but you're so cool and so good and so confident that you don't taunt. Come on, that's almost the best.
Yeah, like maybe that's generational, man. rubbing in their face a little bit. Hey, it's an emotional game. You know what? Adrenaline's pumping, testosterone's pumping.
I want the ability to taunt and being so cool about it that you're so good and so confident. I don't need to taunt. I just own you on that play. You're almost saying something if you don't taunt.
Maybe. Well, I love Barry Sanders. He never did anything.
Never did it.
Nothing.
You're right. Yeah. Last one in What's for Lunch. More impressive final season in the NFL. John Elway won the Super Bowl. This one's for John. Or Jim Brown. The Brown helped the Cleveland Browns reach a championship in 1965 with 21 touchdowns, 1,500 yards rushing. Do people remember Jim Brown? You remember Jim Brown? Do you remember seeing him play?
You know, this is a John Elway slam dunk for me because, I mean, the guys trying to tackle Jim Brown are, you know, shoemakers and bakers. Yeah. And, you know, they had to have side jobs way back then, right, John?
Yeah, that didn't make them lesser players, did it?
I think it
does. The league was good back then, but I'll go with Elway, too, to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, I'll go with that. What's for lunch? There you go. That's What for Lunch. We got a lot more to talk about, including our topic of the day, the Bills. Outside the Bills, what's the biggest question mark in the AFC East? Phone line's wide open if you'd like to phone in. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. And we'll talk about that. Patriots, Jets, Dolphins, what's their biggest issues? Also, let's get into a little bit about the use of replay on pass interference. We'll talk about that when we come back as well. Tyler Dunn with us, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy here. Tyler Dunn is with us from Bleacher Report. I didn't ask you, what are you working on Bleacher Report these days? What's up next? What should we look for? You want to tell you, or you're afraid to preview?
Yeah, we've got ESPN and Sports Illustrated. Everybody's listening into this show, so we can't tip our hand. No, we've got a couple stories coming next week that we spent some time on. Say one team that's in a similar position as Buffalo, you know, year three of a regime, and hey, they're talking Super Bowl.
Who's that?
I guess we can tell. 49ers.
Okay. Yes. Are they talking Super Bowl out there?
I guess you have to tune into Bleacher Report, right? And
okay.
Check it out next week. So
did you spend time out there?
Spent some time with the team, with multiple players. John Lynch, spoke at length with him about the expectations out there. Very, very. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, they want him as the face of the organization.
John Lynch.
That's for sure. Yeah. Yes.
Can I tell you my quick John Lynch story? This is one of the reasons. I always liked him as a player, but he's coming through here a couple of years ago. We were in our old studio, just a little radio show. He was working on the network. What did he work for? Fox, I think, doing
the
Bills game.
For like 8-9 years.
Yeah.
He was there for a while.
And it was the Friday, unfortunately, of the massacre at Newtown in Connecticut. Oh. Remember the school shooting? And remember how that was? It was all over the TV, Friday afternoon. John Lynch is here doing his production meeting, agreed to do our show. He comes in. I'm kind of watching it on the TV. He and I sat there for like an hour and a half while all that was being unveiled on TV, and we're both kind of like choked up, and we kind of bonded, as you might, you know, with both his parents and obviously just humans, and I was really impressed as I look back on it. It just what a real guy John Lynch is, you know. Yes, he's a star in the NFL, a star player, now a star GM, as you said, the face of the franchise, but a real person, and that was a difficult day that Friday afternoon. It was tough.
Big time. I mean, right behind his desk. I mean, he's got a huge portrait of his family. I mean, when he took this job, him and Kyle Shanahan both kind of said that we need to value family. You know, that job can destroy any family, destroy any marriage, and they really do kind of value that family time. They're incorporated and everything. So that doesn't surprise me.
Garoppolo, your thoughts? I talked to him at length at his Senior Bowl coming out. Where did he? Western Illinois, Eastern? Where was he? Western.
Right, Eastern Illinois.
Eastern Illinois, and he had a really good. What's the All-Star game, East-West Shrine game before the Senior Bowl? Really good week. He was a last-minute invitee to the Senior Bowl, played well down there, but just an impressive guy. Smart, polished. I liked him, and this is going back at the start of his NFL career. I liked him.
Good head of hair, good jawline, right?
Yeah.
Tan.
Yeah.
Now we just have to see if he can play quarterback. You know, he hasn't been out there.
What do you think?
Man, they think so. You know, they gave him $137.5 million contract, but that has an escape clause, you know, in 2020, so... You know, he could easily be made the scapegoat if it is all hype, if he can't play. Now, it looks like he can, but they gave him that contract after just a handful of starts, and they really think that they can get a McVay-Goff-like, you know, quarterback-coach connection going between Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan. And Shanahan's widely considered one of the best offensive minds, but he's got to do it. And when I was out there, that was kind of the hesitation, even in Lynch's voice, Richard Sherman's voice. You know, they're all excited about Jimmy Garoppolo, but they've got to see it with regularity on the field. And hey, he does. He's got George Kittle, as you see on the screen. I mean, he might be the best tight end in all of football, but at wide receiver, not a lot there. They poured a lot of money into running back. Just interesting how this team came together.
You think they're good? Tough division.
Man, I think that they can tilt that direction. I think that they can absolutely be contenders if they stay healthy. But hey, this could also fall apart too. You know, they didn't have the benefit of drafting, you know, a Mahomes, a Trubisky, a Deshaun Watson when they could have. And if you get one of those guys, then you can pay, you know, blank checks to anybody you want, like the Rams did. I think we were all stunned that the Rams just signed vet after vet after vet, and that's the reason they were in the Super Bowl. So the 49ers had that opportunity, and they weren't able to take advantage of it. So that, I think that's where there's a little pressure mounting here that, you know, I know they've got those six-year contracts, but if they don't win this year, heads could roll. Year three is when you have to see it.
Yep. Interesting. That's coming up on Bleacher Report.
Right.
Hey, let me ask you something. Did you see this? I'm sure you did. We talked about it briefly off the air. Brett Favre speaking this week about kind of revealing something about his career that you say you've heard before. I've never heard him say this, but listen to this if you haven't heard it. Brett Favre tells a story about trying to make his way through the early portion of his NFL career and getting a little help from fellow quarterback Ty Detmer. Listen to this.
But I was afraid to ask. I'm the starter, you know. Ty Detmer was over there, you know. And so after about our second year, I said, finally, I said, I just got to know. So I said, Ty, I got to ask you a question. And Ty was about as goofy as I was. He says, what's that? And I said, what's nickel defense? He gets real quiet. He says, are you serious? I said, yeah, I'm serious. He says, well, they basically take out a linebacker and bring in a DB. I said, that's it? He said, that's it. I said, who gives a
Big laugh, especially for his dismissal at the end. You were around Favre, right, when you were covering the Packers. Is that a true story, first of all?
Yes, 100% true. So I got to know Ty Detmer, you know, pretty well, just, you know, giving him a call for different stories. And he's just great to talk to. You know, you could talk to Ty Detmer forever. And he brought that story up. So it's kind of in the back of my mind. And then we were able to sit down with Brett Favre, you know, for a long story at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel down at his house. And which, by the way, I thought I was going to get maybe a half hour with Brett Favre. And, you know, it's one story after another story and another story. And we're talking for three plus hours.
Where'd you go, Louisiana or up in?
Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you spent how long?
About 3 hours.
3 hours at a time.
Yeah, just on his back deck. He was just unbelievable with his time. He's a storyteller. And he brought that up himself. So it's true. I mean, that's what makes Brett Favre, you know, special. Great.
How does that happen? He doesn't know where the nickel defense is. How do you get that far? I assume it's early in his career.
Yeah,
but
just second or third year. I think he just thought, hey, who cares? I'm gonna gun it in there. You know, whether it's a linebacker or a DB, I don't care.
Yeah, Favre, great, right? Great guy, good man.
Yeah, unbelievable. You know, the thing about Brett Favre, it's like he. It's almost like you've known him your whole life when you meet him for the first time, and he's constantly asking you questions about your life. He's like, hey, where are you from? I mentioned Buffalo, and he talked about his relationship with Jim Kelly, how they go hunting. And he said, where'd you go to college? And I said, Syracuse. And he goes, Syracuse, you know, one of my buddies, we've got a hunting camp up there, and we'd hunt wild boar, and the snow, they just stood out like cows. Or I'm paraphrasing. It was something like that. But, of course, he's got a Buffalo story and a Syracuse story, you know? Yeah.
What does Brett Favre do? He does commercials, I see. But what does he do these days?
I think he's just chilling down there, just, you know, hunting, fishing. He pops on to Sirius XM, I think, once in a while. You know, he still does media here and there, but I think for the most part, he's once and for all kind of settled down, and it wasn't easy for him. You know, he felt that itch on that property, you know, year after year after year, and couldn't quit this game. But I think that's why we could all relate to Brett Favre. You know, we all have a little Favre in us, that competitive desire. I think even Packer fans have come around to him and appreciate the fact that he wanted to stick it to the Packers, which at the time, they weren't really appreciating it.
Not at all. All right, we got Tyler Dunn with us. One more hour to go. We will talk about replay when we come back. We will get back to our topic of the day about the rest of the AFC East and the question marks in the division. All of that when we come back for hour number three. One Bills Live, presented by Kalida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever,
or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.